worked at the Grove in the summer of 2004 and the summer of 2005, and he was able to obtain two program covers for the cremation of care ceremony, as well as a 2005 membership list, which reads like a who's who of U.S. and European elite. Former President Jimmy Carter, former President George Herbert Walker Bush, President Bush.
This is how George Bush dresses up, right here. We got him on tape.
What is the Bohemian Grove? Well, it's a kind of summer camp for the powerful, an all-male gathering in great secrecy. More from Dennis Murphy.
George Shultz, Henry Kissinger, and West German Chancellor Schmidt arrived by car. The chairman of General Motors and U.S. Steel came in by private jet.
If you would look at the guest list over a period of 5 years, I don't think there would be anybody of any importance in America who was missing from that list.
In a House of Cards episode, the hit political drama on Netflix that starred Kevin Spacey, one episode included a strange scene where he and other politicians and world leaders gathered in a forest, all dressed in hooded cloaks and engaged in a mock human sacrifice ritual where an effigy of a person was burned on an altar in front of a giant crow statue. After the ritual, Spacey broke the fourth wall, speaking directly to the audience, saying this.
Look around. Some of the most powerful men in the world are gathered in this clearing. Members of one of our country's most exclusive clubs. Invitation only, unless, of course, you invite yourself. They gather here to seek God between the branches of these magnificent trees. They eat together, they kiss next to each other, and they carve up the world like a Sunday roast. This is where the real power is.
Have you been there for the ceremony with the cremation of care?
Frankly, I don't think that's something I need to talk to you about.
Really?
That's right.
Well, I'm Alex Jones, and I snuck in there in 2000. I'm the guy that blew it wide open and got the video. It's been on national TV.
Well, I disrespect you for that.
You do?
I do.
But it's a lot of big public officials going in there. Don't we deserve to know?
I don't know anything about you, and I don't know anything about your film. But if you go in there with an understanding, you violated that understanding by releasing that film, and I don't respect you for that.
Really? But we have public officials.
You took an understanding when you went in there that you would not do that film. And you did you have an understanding when you went in there?
No.
Did you crash it?
Yes.
Yeah, and it has no trespassing signs there, too, doesn't it?
No, they put them up after.
I'm sorry, sir. I've been there before. I know what the circumstances are, and I'm sorry you violated the understandings. That was not a gentlemanly thing to do.
But what about the ritual? Is the ritual gentlemanly?
Sir, everything. I don't owe you this comment.
I know.
You have. This is what's called ambush journalism, and I disrespect you for that as well. So thank you,
you ever
and goodbye.
Been in the ritual?
That's none of your damn business.
Every summer in July, hundreds of the most powerful and influential men attend what is known as the cremation of care ceremony. An early version of it was photographed in 1915 and published by National Geographic. In 1989, a writer for Spy magazine infiltrated Bohemian Grove and mentioned the cremation of care ceremony, but did not mention the effigy. The article mostly focused on powerful drunk men dressing in drag and engaged in homoerotic behavior.
I got pretty close to a couple of camps. I was going around a lot of camps. I was talking to a lot of the people, and actually, I don't know if it was getting hit on, but a group did offer me to stay the night at their camp. Obviously, I was going to say no. The way it works in the Bohemian Grove is called sleeping around. It's an exclusive term that it's literally called sleeping around. It's when you're in the first phases of being a member, you still have to find the camp you're according to. So to find the camp you're according to, you have to sleep around in other tents. And that has a negative connotation. You really like sleeping around with men is just like it just sounds weird in general. So to even have that term as a basis is weird.
Now it's getting dark and this high priest comes out in his white robes and red cape, and he's got the staff, and he says, let the dead who were here before us, their spirits be here. Mm-hmm. These old men are sitting there just going, because like I'm a Christian, but you go to like a holy roller church, and they and it's great, and it's wonderful, but they're like enraptured, and you're like, wow, these people were, but like at a satanic type deal, they were just going,
And most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well,
Our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish CMOS to give them the authorization for private labeling. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate CMOS, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate CMOS exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
It's Wednesday, October 16th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. You're coming to us. You found us. You've made it through the censorship to Infowars.com, band.video. Whether you're tuned in on X or over the radio waves, however you're finding us, thank you for being here. We have a lot to talk about today. Mostly politics. We'll be talking a lot about politics. You think they regret not having a cop kill a black guy this year? Just thinking about it, because a lot of the show today will be talking about the campaign and obviously the overwhelming concern right now for Kamala is the lack of black support. By which we mean, you know, maybe they'll be voting 85 rather than 90% Democrat this year. And I wonder if they regret not, you know, having a black guy overdose on fentanyl on body cam. So they could have launched another 2020 style Black Lives Matter insurrection this year. Because they're getting desperate and they're trying everything they can to win over the black vote.
Be careful, Harrison. They almost got their wish with Sidney Wilson.
I know. Unfortunately, there was body cam footage in the Sidney Wilson case. Darn it. Darn it. We got to see what actually happened, and everybody realizes that it was self-defense on behalf of the police officer.
If you actually, she didn't do nothing wrong.
She did not do nothing wrong. Yes, that is accurate. She didn't do nothing. Okay. All right. Then I wonder what the effects of the Israel war. I don't know. All this just flooded into me about 10 seconds before we went live because I was going through the stack of news under election 2024. And you got Kamala Harris going on Joe Rogan, apparently. She just went on with Charlemagne the God. And I was just thinking about all of the things. Like, literally, something must have happened. A poll must have come back. Something happened in the Democrat establishment where they realized just how far they're slipping with black males in America. Because they've gone crazy over the last week. They're like, we'll give $20,000 to black entrepreneurs. We'll legalize weed. We'll reform the prison system. We'll go on your rap morning shows. Just vote for us. Won't you just vote for, you have to vote for us. Obama coming out. Maybe that's what it was. Him coming out and trying to shame black men into voting for the Indian woman. Something happened. So then I was wondering, okay, normally around election years, you have a big Black Lives Matter contingent. Usually they shore up the subjects. They bring people back onto the plantation through a Black Lives Matter scenario that they've concocted. They didn't do that this year. I was wondering, well, what are the people that are normally doing that up to? You think, well, probably half of them are protesting Israel with the Palestinians, and the other half are distracted trying to shut down the protest of Israel. I wonder how much the war in Israel and the ensuing division in the left wing has distracted the puppet masters. It got them off focus, and they forgot to do a Black Lives Matter hoax this year. And so now they're scrambling to make up for it. Anyway, that's just a little thought for you, just a little speculation on my part. But we will get into what exactly is happening on the campaign trail. And I love it. You have headlines like this from Just the News. Harris's top surrogates, Clinton, Obama, and Biden, backfire on campaign trail boosting Trump. Like, this is how bad down the Democrat Party is. Their candidate is despised. Every media appearance she does just further emphasizes how inauthentic and incapable she is. So then they send out the surrogates, but they're liked even less than the candidate. So what are you going to do here? What are you going to do? It's incredible. We have a lot of other news to talk about. Of course, we will be getting into crime. We'll be getting into the wars overseas, obviously. And I have a ton of videos to get to today, including some I referenced yesterday but wasn't able to find at the time. I have located and we'll play them here. I think let's start off, before we get into the news, before we really dive down into the chaos, nonsense, civilizational suicide going on all around us, let's play clip number 14 here. Let's play clip number 14. Go ahead and roll it. I don't know why. Here's a guy paragliding over the Great Pyramid in Egypt. And there's a dog on top. What is that dog doing on the pyramid? See him? How'd he get up there? How's he gonna get down? There's a dog hanging out on top of the pyramid. I don't know what this means, but I feel like it's a sign. I don't know what it's a sign of. I feel like there's some sort of supernatural force trying desperately to tell us something. There is now a dog on top of the Great Pyramid in Egypt. I don't know what it means. I really don't. But it is fascinating. What would compel a dog to try to climb up to the top of the pyramid? Well, learning the secrets of the ancients, obviously. All right. That's enough dilly-dallying. Let's get into it. We'll start today, as we do every day, with your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 16th of October, 2024. 55 undeclared chemical elements, including heavy metals, have been found in COVID vaccines. This is from childrenshealthdefense.org. Argentine scientists identified 55 chemical elements not listed on package inserts in a study of the six major COVID-19 vaccine brands. The research, which confirms previous studies, sparked calls for transparency and further investigation. Yes, these chemicals include 11 heavy metals such as chromium, arsenic, nickel, aluminum, cobalt, and copper, which scientists consider systemic toxicants known to be carcinogenic and induce organ damage even at low exposure levels. The samples also contained 11 of the 15 lanthanides, or rare earth metals elements that are heavier, silvery metals often used in manufacturing. These chemical elements, which include lanthium, cerium, and gadolinium, are lesser known to the general public than heavy metals, but also have been shown to be highly toxic. The detection of multiple undeclared toxic elements, including heavy metals and lanthanides in COVID-19 vaccines, raises a dual and multiplied concern for human health, according to James Lyons Wheeler, Ph.D., a member of the journal's editorial board that was not involved in the research. Individually, these chemicals are known to cause neurological, cardiovascular, and immunological damage. But we are assured that it might potentially make your case of COVID less significant, I think is where they're at now. I think that's where they've devolved into after having to admit that it doesn't do a damn thing in terms of stopping you from getting the virus. In fact, you're more likely to get the virus the more booster shots you get. And so now they're still running with the concept that it would be worse if you didn't get it, apparently. Non-falsifiable, total bull crap. Moving on, new text reveal, Liz Cheney directly communicated with J6 star witness Cassidy Hutchinson about her testimony without Hutchinson's attorney's knowledge. Now remember, this was the lady who said that Donald Trump tried to steal the presidential limo from Secret Service and was like leaping from the back seat to try to grab the steering wheel. Try to Charlottesville January 6th. We don't know what the intention was there. But now we're wondering, was this a prank? Was Liz Cheney in a production RV just outside, like the Impractical Jokers? Were we all getting punked? It's like, now say that he's tried to grab the wheel. Yeah, no, it was all a big joke, I guess. I really shouldn't even make jokes about this. But it's just so absurd. But, I mean, it is totally absurd, this whole situation. But it's also an attempt by the United States government to have a show trial to completely warp the perspective of its own citizens to carry out its disturbing political goals. It's not actually that funny. In the months prior to Hutchinson's explosive private and public testimony, Cheney communicated with Hutchinson both directly and through an intermediary, Alyssa Farah Griffin, while Hutchinson was represented by her attorney, Stephen Passatino. The Select Committee conducted 6 transcribed interviews of Hutchinson in total. Passatino represented Hutchinson in the first 3 interviews. The Oversight Committee said, and I believe Liz Cheney was on the Oversight Committee, right? She'd be showing that it was bipartisan by having Liz frickin' Cheney, daughter of Dick, on the committee. So there you have coordination between the show trial jury and the January 6th Select Committee and their witnesses who perjured themselves before the American people. It's total corruption, total collaboration, total show trial, total destruction of the rule of law, total politicization of the more sacred practices of our government. Speaking of, Georgia judge blocks ballot hand counting order. Yeah, it was just last week or so, there were celebrations, congratulations going around. Georgia had passed a measure saying that they had to hand count ballots that would have massively restricted the ability of Democrats or anybody, but in this case Democrats, to steal the election. But that's not happening anymore, I guess. A judge in the U.S. state of Georgia has blocked an order for ballots in November's presidential election to be counted by hand. Judge Robert McBurney ruled poll workers would not have received adequate training to handle millions of ballots, adding that the last-minute change would have led to administrative chaos. And I think I speak for everybody when I say last-minute changes to the election procedure without adequate training, without barriers to abuse, without measures taken to ensure that the changes to the process didn't severely damage the legitimacy of the vote. I mean, that's something we have to avoid at all costs. Administrative chaos, we all know, could destroy the results of an election. So we cannot have administrative chaos this year, this time, right, in 2024. In 2020, administrative chaos was a very useful tool for the powers that be to steal the election. Administrative chaos was the primary outcome of suddenly and without reservation or consideration at all, the implementation of mail-in ballot boxes and massive mail-in campaigns where you're sending ballots to absolutely everybody and not purging the voter rolls, but sending out ballots based on voter rolls. So potentially millions of extra ballots were sent out to people at addresses they no longer lived, only to be returned without their knowledge or the knowledge of the people carrying out the election. Yeah, it was administrative chaos that got us here in the first place, but now we're concerned about it. Now that somebody actually wants to do something to prevent the fraud and provide another extra layer of scrutiny with hand counting ballots, that's administrative chaos that we just can't handle, shouldn't have. And the judge put a stop to that. I can't really remember now. Did a single judge in 2020 anywhere in America do anything to stop the wholesale reorganization of our voting system through illegal means, like the Secretary of State? I mean, it's pretty clearly prescribed by not just the U.S. Constitution, but state constitutions that changes to the voting process has to go through the legislature. Now, in this case, it did go through the legislature, but the judge stopped it. But putting that to the side, all of the changes made in 2020 to the mail-in ballot procedures and the delayed counting and just everything they did was done by fiat, by the executive branch of states, like the Secretary of State or the governor or whoever, just instituting something ad nauseum without oversight or justification. Did a single judge step in to stop that? Did a single judge exercise their power to prevent the administrative chaos? Or is that only happening now in 2024? I can't really remember. Seemed like everything they wanted to do in 2020 just happened without any scrutiny, oversight, or reversals by judges. But maybe I'm misremembering. Meanwhile, Elon Musk and other billionaires invest staggering sums into electing Trump, plus other takeaways from third quarter filings. This is the headline from CNN, and this is the talking point that was spread out through the mainstream media today. Donald Trump is the puppet of billionaires because Elon Musk is a guy that supports him. Yes, he has one billionaire, and that apparently is terrible, and he has to be stopped. And this makes him a puppet, a useful stool for his billionaire buddies. I love when they say that. They should say billionaire buddy. It's one. It's Elon Musk. He's the one. Well, and Miriam Adelson. Yeah, she's another. Okay, two. So there's two. There's two billionaires in this country that support Donald Trump, and this is an outrage, according to the mainstream media. According to leftists around the country, this represents a unsustainable, a objectionable, element of corruption in the Trump campaign. Because two billionaires support Donald Trump. While every other billionaire in the country is not just hyper-partisan and dedicated completely to ousting or, you know, defeating Trump and getting Kamala Harris in, but also spend their idle time and their tens of billions of dollars to establish entire comprehensive networks of NGOs across the country to subtly shift the American populace towards a less conservative future. So we'll get back into that. Compiled some information I'd like to share with you about where exactly the money is coming from in terms of the campaigns of Harris and Trump. But finally, we have this. Ukrainians are evacuating Kupchansk. A complete collapse is on the horizon. Mandatory evacuations have been announced in the Ukrainian city of Kupchansk, as well as three neighboring settlements. Due to the advance of Russian forces, the Kiev Independent writes that the governor of the Kharkiv region, Olev something, announced the evacuation orders. Cars with loudspeakers were filmed in the city announcing the city has no food, water, electricity, or gas, and all residents must evacuate as they flee the Kharkiv region ahead of a Russian takeover in that place. There's also a proposal now from Zelensky about some sort of resolution to the war. But he should have taken the offer in 2022. In 2022, there's a very good offer on the table from Russia, agreed to by Ukraine, entering the final stages of negotiation when Boris Johnson, as representative of the Anglo-American NATO alliance, scuttled that, convinced Zelensky it was a good idea to not take the offer of peace. And now we've had 2+ years of endless, pointless murder and conflict. And now he has no standing to make any demands because he is not and will not anytime soon be winning on the battlefield. So he had an offer. Russia gave him a way out. He didn't take it. And for the last 2 years, he's been playing the con man game with NATO, trying to get really, and the goal now for Zelensky is just get enough to have a foothold to negotiate from, and they can't even handle that. And so in response to the Ukrainian proposal today, I can't remember the exact quote, but Russia basically told them to stop drinking. It basically said this proposal is nonsense. They need to sober up. That was the actual quote. You need to sober up there in Kiev because you're acting like a drunk. That's actually a really good metaphor for it. I think I've told this story before, but I'm sure a lot of people listening to me now have very similar events in their life. Where in college one time, there's this dude that was just, he was just way too drunk at our friend's house. So my friend and I had to kick him out, and that guy, that made him really mad. And he was like trying to fight us. He like couldn't stand up. And me and my friend were pretty much sober. And we're just like, dude, just get at it. Like, stop trying to fight us. He was like swinging at us and like trying to. And it's like, dude, if we were to go at you as hard as you're going at us, we would kill you. Like, you would be dead. We would leave you in this gutter and the cops would find you in the morning. Stop. You're too drunk. You need to go. And it's an act of mercy to not fight them because of how savagely you could beat them in their drunken, messed up, retarded state. That's kind of Ukraine right now. It's just like totally battered. It's punch drunk. It's just failing completely. And it's going, yeah, I'm taking you on next. And Russia's going, dude, you're drunk. You need to sober up a little bit. And then we can talk about what's going on here. But right now, you're dangerously out of whack. You're dangerously disconnected with reality right now. And that's where they are. They are dangerously disconnected with reality, supremely overconfident, and putting themselves and all of us in danger. And that's your Daily Dispatch. We are going to continue to talk about the wars overseas. But I have so many videos to get to. And I think we'll begin with the election and the Democrats. Really, I mean, if they don't have these ethnic blocs locked in, where, you know, to where they can just say and do whatever they want and certain ethnicities vote for them regardless, if that's not the case, they fail. And right now, two of their probably largest constituencies are not doing as they're told. They've escaped from the fold. They've wormed their way out of the shackles, and the Democrats are having trouble. The two populations are Black Americans and migrants. Obviously, a lot of, like, most migrants are going to, you know, vote for Democrats because it's not about what's best for America. It's about what's best for them, right? The same reason that they chose to come over as illegal immigrants. They don't actually care about or love America, but see our openness and friendliness as a vulnerability to exploit. So, you know, they don't actually care about what's best in terms of the nation as to who to elect, but if somebody will give them a benefit and provide, you know, stolen money to them, then that's fine, and that's who they'll vote for. Most immigrants, especially the not legal ones, are going to vote for Democrats. But what about all the Muslim ones? What about all of the Middle Eastern migrants that we've led over here? They're not so happy about the Democrats' complicity in the Israeli genocide. And then, you know, like I said, the Black population, if they're not voting 90%+ under Obama, it was like 97 or something, if they're not voting almost 100% for the Democrats, that's like panic time for the Democrats, because they need total subjugation. They need total commitment. They need absolute control, or else freedom prevails. We're back on the other side to show you what they're doing.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric oxide, probiotics, joint relief max, nerve renew, prostate support, collagen, superfood greens, turmeric, ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state, intelligence agency, controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spreading the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We try to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out or if you're an athlete or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at the AlexJonesStore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at the AlexJonesStore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at the AlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Not to touch the earth, not to see the sun, nothing left to do but run, 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 let's run.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal, InfoWars.com, band.video. Shout out to Rex Dwight. He figured it out. It wasn't a dog on top of the Great Pyramid. It was Anubis, the jackal god. That's why he was up there. It's all coming together. So, Kamala Harris, she ain't black. And that's a big problem. That's a big problem for her because she doesn't have much else off to offer. If she was trans, maybe that would help. Maybe that actually would help. But, right, her qualifications for being president are a black woman. So she ain't black. All she's got is a woman. In this case, her not being a real woman would be a benefit. But that's what they've got. That's what they've got. In terms of policy, they've got abortion and Project 2025, both of which are not actually things that Trump is going to do, right? The one argument they have is that to vote for Kamala or else Trump's going to impose a nationwide ban on abortion, which he repeatedly and vociferously denounces and says he'll never do and is in fact responsible for abortion not being a federal topic and just keeps saying, I'm leaving it to the states. I'm going to leave it to the states. there's a federal bill, I'll veto it. He just says it over and over. They don't care. They just keep the lie going because they have to, because it's all they have. Because without that, they got nothing. And then Project 2025, which he didn't write and has repeatedly disavowed, doesn't matter. They have to keep pushing it. They have to make him scary, fascist, bad man. And it's not working. And it's not working. And it's especially not working with her pretending to be black. And look, Obama wasn't really black either. You want to know the truth of it. You want to know the truth about it. What's that? Oh, we do have clip 8. Okay. Well, this is a great thing to start with. This was posted by a friend of the show, Shaney Rich. And this video was actually removed from Facebook. It had amassed 27 million views, and then they removed it for misinformation, which there's no misinformation whatsoever. It's a man expressing his opinion, but hey, tag it with whatever you want. The point is, they don't want you seeing it. Call it disinformation, call it hate speech. I mean, none of that matters. All of those are various labels. They're all synonymous, and what they really mean is they just don't want you to see it. They're just something they don't like and don't want spread. So call it misinformation. Here is Shaney Rich interviewing a black American about his political stance.
Do you think that Trump should go to jail?
Hell nah.
Why?
We all break the law sometimes. It's all right. He ain't hurt nobody. Free that man.
Yeah.
I'm all for Trump, man.
So you're saying Trump 2024?
2024.
All day.
All day. See?
All day.
Why?
To me, it's not really a Trump thing. It's just that, you know, the Republican point of views just fit me a little better.
Do you think that the trials are making him more popular?
This is all part of the plan.
Yeah.
All propaganda and bullshit. They're all friends, like the WWF. Trump, Biden, Obama, they're all friends. This ain't nothing but a series. You get a chance to write, direct, produce, and star in your own episode of life. I'm for the Trump point of views because, I mean, to me, he's just a businessman. Everybody that talk against him, talking personal. Nobody's even talking politics. I think he's a pretty good politician because he's not a politician. He might be a narcissist. And as far as that racist shit, everybody got motherfuckers they can't stand. And to be honest, he can't stand the same type of motherfuckers he can't stand. And they're not black, they're not white, they're not Hispanic. He can't stand bitches and niggas. It's four kind of people on this planet. Four kind of adults. Men, women, bitches and niggas. And every race has them. He's not really down with the bitches and niggas. I'm tired of them too. And when he was here, nobody was out fighting the war. Him and Dennis Rodman killed the shit with the dude in North Korea.
Kim Jong-un. He was the first president to go to North Korea.
Everybody was getting money.
Yeah.
Shit was cool. I'm Mr. Nobody, and I was balling. You know what I'm saying? Shit was cool under his watch. He was real. He was doing his job. And what I liked about him the most is the things that regular people hate about him the most. He was real. He told you how he felt. He could have lied like other politicians just to make you like him. One thing about him, you know what you're dealing with.
You heard it here first.
I guess. I mean, that's like the most compelling endorsement I've ever seen. Yeah, 22.7 million views. No wonder they wanted to take that down. Because he's exactly right. And that is, and look, you know, I said today on Twitter that I'm blacker than Kamala Harris. That's a joke, obviously. Racially, but culturally, I don't know. I might see. I actually spent time around black people. That's more than Kamala Harris can actually say growing up. Do you think Kamala Harris ever spent time in a ghetto inner city high school like her old friend Harrison? I don't think so. And honestly, part of it, I don't know. I don't even know how to talk about it. But like if there's one thing you can say about the black community on average or as a whole, they're actually pretty good at seeing through authenticity, like seeing authenticity and judging it for what it is. And my experience with black people all through my life is if you're just real with them, They're fine with you. Like, they don't care. But the moment you try to be something that you're not, they can tell. And they think it's hilarious. And they'll mock you for it. And that's the thing. That's why people love Trump. Kamala Harris goes up and tries to pretend to be something she's not, where she puts on a fake Southern accent or talks about collard greens or all this pandering crap. And of course, for people who know what's up, it totally falls flat and it's just obviously fake and wrong. Trump gets up there and he doesn't change who he is at all, no matter who he's talking to. And that comes through and is recognized by the population, who, even if they don't like you, they'll appreciate that you're giving them respect enough to not change who you are. And Obama was raised by white people in Hawaii, okay? He's like...
Pornographers. His mom was a hoe.
His mom, bit of a hoe, but yeah. He's like us brothers. You know, it's us brothers that have to. We're slacking here. We're slacking and clackalacking, my brothers. It's like, all right, okay. But he looks black, I guess. So all this is to say that, like, the Democrats, their disauthenticity, their fakeness, their fraudulence, their pandering, it's all fallen flat. It's all fallen flat because in reality, they don't know about or care about the black experience in America. They want to use it. They like pandering to it. They like pretending that they care. But if they actually understood black people, they would know that, like, being inauthentic is a way to drive them away. That's why I keep making the joke. They're like, authenticity is so important, so we got to try. We got to fake it really hard. We got to fake authenticity really hard. That's what's key here. You could just be authentic, but they can't though. So we have a lot of stories from this. I don't have any clips from Kamala Harris going on the Charlemagne the God program. I'm not going to actually subject you to that, but I do want to talk about its implications from USA Today. Harris says she remains open to reparations in an interview with Charlemagne the God, Five Moments. And it's funny, all the mainstream media articles have this exactly. Like, five things you need to know from Harris's interview with Charlemagne the God. Literally, this was the top story on Google News. Like five different versions of this. The CNN top five highlights, USA Today top five highlights, all celebrating, all wanting to, you know, frame her appearances in the best possible light. And it's amazing because this is what, like the third, fourth, maybe fifth interview she's done. Like she doesn't actually do interviews that much. Meanwhile, Donald Trump does like four a day and hardly gets any coverage of it. But she says, "This is a margin of error race. It's tight. I'm going to win, but it's tight," Harris told listeners at the top of an hour-long interview 3 weeks before Election Day as Democratic nominee expands her outreach to black voters, in particular, black men. Harris, who would be the first black female president if elected, has sharpened her pitch to African-American voters, a critical Democrat constituency, while polling suggests Trump has made slight inroads with black male voters. Harris says slavery reparations must be studied. We must study slavery reparations. We must study the effects of taking money from people who never owned slaves and giving it to people who never were slaves to make up for something that hasn't impacted America for 200 years. Charlemagne alleges Trump's vision is all about fascism, and Harris agrees. Oh. Okay. So neither one of them know what fascism is. The moment came when Harris framed the election as a race between two visions, one about moving the country forward under her leadership or backwards with Trump. Quote, "The other is about fascism. Why can't we just say it?" Charlemagne said. Oh, why can't we just say it? Yeah, thank God Charlemagne the God came out finally. Somebody had the bravery, the temerity to call Donald Trump a fascist. I mean, how long has it been? Why can't we just say it? Why can't somebody just come out and call Donald Trump a fascist? Thank you, Charlemagne the God, for being so brave and insightful. How do you do it? How do you say something so brave but so true? Yes, we can say that, Harris responded. Yeah, you can say all sorts of things. Doesn't mean they're true. And ironically, things we keep hearing over and over and over from the Democrats aren't true. And they also act like they're brave for saying it. It must be nice. It must be nice. See, what we do here at InfoWars is get up and say things you're actually not supposed to say. And it does feel good. It does feel good to actually tell the truth when everybody demands that you push a lie. But it also must be fun to just repeat without thinking the stuff that everybody around you say and still get that warm, fuzzy feeling like you're doing something that you're not supposed to, like you're standing up against power. It's like cheating almost, like having your cake and eating it too. It's like they get to support the establishment, just like sycophants. While still, it's like stolen valor is what it is. It's like stolen valor. It's like you're not actually standing up to anybody. You aren't actually saying anything dangerous. You aren't actually speaking truth to power. Then you act like you are. It's stolen valor is what it is. Harris pushes national marijuana legalization. But again, it's like black people. They really hate you. They really just don't care about you at all. They just treat black people like children. It really is pathetic. It's like, you won't vote for us? What if we give you candy? What if we give you money and let you smoke your weed? If we let you smoke your marijuana cannabis, will you vote for us? Harris says disinformation has distorted record with black community. Harris defended her record addressing issues that largely impact black voters, arguing mis and disinformation has distorted the reality. That's just not true, Harris said when asked about assertions she would not do anything specifically for black Americans if elected. One of the biggest challenges I face is mis and disinformation, and it's purposeful because it is meant to convince people they are somehow should not believe that the work I've done has occurred and has meaning. Just something about the way she talks, where it just means nothing. She just uses all these words, and it's all purposeful because it is meant to convince people that they somehow should not believe that the work that I have done has occurred and has meaning. They're trying to convince you to not believe that the work I've done has occurred. Okay, what have you done? Well. Trust me, vote for me this time and I will give you $20,000 because I believe in democracy. I value democracy so much, I'm destroying it by openly, blatantly bribing the constituency with their own tax dollars.
Also, isn't it kind of weird that she's just leaning into the trope that black people smoke weed?
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. It's right. Like, you know, yeah, it's they find out that they've dipped, you know, 2% with the black community and they just come out. Full on, just like, we'll make it so you can smoke weed and don't have to work. We get you. We understand your you know, ambitions, your dreams as black Americans. We're going to give you free money so you don't have to work, and then weed so you can smoke all day when you're not working. We're here to lift you up. This is what we call it, building up the black community. It's where we flood it with drugs and ship all your jobs overseas. You're welcome. Ask Trump what his plan for black America is. Ask him, Harris says. I'll tell you what it is. Look at Project 2025. My God. These people. The 2025 Presidential Transition Project, as it's otherwise known, is a product of the Heritage Foundation, a right-wing think tank, authored with help from several former Trump administration officials. It has not. He just keeps denouncing it. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter to these people. He might as well just embrace it. Because who cares? They don't. They don't. It was never written by him. He says he's never read it. He's disavowed it 100 times. And they just sit there going, well, ask Donald Trump about Project 2025. That's his plan. Okay. And Harris likes Maya Rudolph's SNL caricature. Of course he does. It's probably how she sees herself. Hasn't Maya Rudolph been wonderful, Harris said, when Charlamagne asked Vice President whether it's fair for SNL to make fun of her appearing scripted. I have nothing but admiration for comedy. Like, you can't even read her statements off authentically. Like, some people, you know, it's the presentation, it's the way they talk that can be inauthentic or not, but it's like the way she talks, you like cannot read her words without sounding equally inauthentic as her. She's like a robot. I have nothing but admiration for comedy. Who says that? Who says I have nothing but admiration for comedy? And I think it's important to be able to laugh at yourself and each other in the spirit of obviously comedy and not belittling people as my opponent does. My fascist opponent. I think it's important to be able to laugh at yourself and each other in the spirit of obviously comedy. Amazing. It is actually amazing how inauthentic she is. It is actually like baffling. Like, I am amazed. I am flabbergasted at just how inauthentic Kamala Harris is capable of being. I too love laughing at comedy. I do. I too enjoy laughing in the spirit of comedy. You bet, lady. Now let's compare that to Trump just being as authentic as it's humanly possible to be. Clip number 25 is Trump sitting down with a reporter from Bloomberg. I don't know if he hates this guy or something, but he just destroys this man on live television. Let's go to clip 25.
What is the Wall Street Journal now? I'm meeting with them tomorrow. What is the Wall Street Journal now? They've been wrong about everything. So have you, by the way. You've been wrong about
everything. You're trying to turn this.
You've been wrong.
You're trying to turn this into debate. There are business people.
You've been wrong. You've been wrong all your life on this stuff.
My favorite part about that clip is the fact that Trump is just clearly not listening to his response. That's my favorite part. And the way he's sitting, he does the Trump arm cross thing. He's just like, you know, he's insulting Wall Street Journal. He's like, they're wrong. They're wrong about everything. Hey, kind of like you. It's kind of like how you're wrong about everything. I don't even know who this guy is. The poor man. The poor man sitting on a stage with Trump trying to defend himself. And Trump's just like looking around the crowd. He's just clearly not listening at all. And then it's just like, oh, by the way, oh, I have something else to say. Shut up. Whatever you were saying, shut up. Here's another thing I want to insult you about. It's just incredible. You know what? On the top, you know, maybe this is a good segue into, as we stick with the topic of authenticity. Because I don't want to just slam Kamala Harris. She's not alone in this. It's a disease of the Democrats. They are afflicted with insincerity, like the AIDS virus, like an incurable gay cancer. Let's go to clip number 12, where again we see inauthenticity on full display, this time with Stephen Colbert. I talked about this clip yesterday, and I wanted to show it to you. It's about the missing kids on the border. Colbert's very sincere, heartfelt, you know, sadness at the news of kids missing at the border. Inauthentic scumbag. Let's watch.
Think about the sheer number here. 545 kids. That's not a child on a milk carton. That's the whole dairy aisle. And yet there are still people who haven't made up their minds. There are still people who are going to vote for him. Maybe we feel too guilty to understand the magnitude of that crime and our responsibility.
And tonight, lawmakers urging the Biden administration to provide explanations for the disappearance of 85,000 migrant children.
So it now approaches 100,000 children, according to public reports, 100,000 children lost by your department and the Biden administration, migrant children sold into labor trafficking and sex trafficking.
We've never had such a bad problem with child labor trafficking and child sex trafficking. And it is enabled by the Biden administration's policies.
And of course, 100,000 is less than a third of the number that several months ago was the official count. Biden-Harris admin loses track of 320,000 migrant children with untold numbers at a risk of sex trafficking and forced labor. No tears from old Colbert, though. When it was 545, that was an egregious, unconscionable crime that we are just, we're too guilty to even fathom. Our brains reel at our complicity in this crime for 545. When it's 320,000, really sharing a beer with the border czar. Again, this is the issue with the Democrats. It's not even necessarily all the time, 100% of the time, that they're wrong. They're wrong about 95% of the time. The problem is, even in those rare instances where they happen to accidentally be correct about something, it's totally inauthentic. It's just a lie in the first place. Is it right to be upset that 545 people are missing? Yeah, absolutely. That is the correct response. It's just a lie from them. They don't actually care. It's a weapon. It's a tool for them to use. It's a crisis for them to exploit. It's an emotional chink in the armor to America's mentality that they can then insinuate themselves into and take advantage of. That's how they see it. Now, whether that's conscious or not, I don't know. But at the end of the day, you're only left with the options are they stupid or are they evil? Either way, they're dishonest. Either way, they're liars. They're inauthentic. And that's their biggest issue. And it's the biggest issue that the mainstream media is having. And it's the same with all of them. It's because they are liars, because they're inauthentic. It's because they are not trustworthy that people mistrust them. And since they're so narcissistically inclined or just solipsistic in their vision, they can't admit or even recognize that they're lying and or wrong. And so they are baffled and confused and shocked and angry that people don't like or trust them. But murderers get angry when they're accused of murder, too. The worst liars in the world get really mad when you tell them that they're lying and they're inauthentic. And they act hurt and they feel hurt. They legitimately feel insulted and hurt when you don't think they're authentic, no matter how much they're lying. Come on the other side.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Constitutional Republic, where we have unalienable rights given to us by God, the Creator.
What do you think? Hold on. What is a republic and what is a democracy?
A democracy is where a bunch of lunatics like you can vote away my rights. A democracy is where three wolves and a sheep vote what's for dinner. Democrats don't want you to know that because they want to be able to vote away your rights, like they want to be able to vote away your Second Amendment rights, vote away your First Amendment rights, and they'll go right down the line, okay? So that's why these people love democracy. The American left loves to pretend like they're the anti-establishment. They love to pretend like they're the freedom warriors. They were all anti-war. They don't even know where they are anymore. My entire life, politics has been nothing but corruption, lies, and scandal. The United States government becomes corrupt. It's our duty to reform the government.
We can watch you cheering 1776. What was 1776?
I know you hate 1776. Wait, wait, I know you hate
what
that.
Was... The saddest thing is that as much as I can't stand conservatives because I'm a liberal slash progressive, at the very least, I felt like we were all kind of in the same boat. We were all kind of like the same country, and we were all presenting at least a unified front to the rest of the world. And as much as conservatives and Democrats might have hated each other, at least we were all Americans at the end of the day.
And when did that change?
When did that change? Well, a big change.
When Donald Trump became president of the United States, and they lost their mind, and so this is them, stuttering and spamming all over the place like lunatics. This is your Democrat voter, right here. Nobody wants to be a part of this psychotic movement anymore.
A
nobody.
Psychotic movement? When you guys literally tried,
you
guys invaded
what
happened.
Your side
acknowledged what you've
10 million
done.
Illegal immigrants.
Oh
your side starts wars all over the world. Our side is the party of sanity and the party of common sense. And if you can't see that in this debate, then you're never going to see it.
You're never going to. The party of sanity is the party that doesn't believe in dinosaurs and the dinosaurs roam the earth.
I'm not here to talk about dinosaurs.
It's insanity. It's crazy to me.
Believe everything you're told from the mainstream media. You're right. There's no government corruption. They don't rig elections. It's never happened. The government is great, guys. The government loves you so much, and the mainstream media would never lie to you. They would never do that. Come
let's
on.
Say that I did, let's say that I did believe everything from the mainstream media. The mainstream media is a conglomeration of how many different large corporations with
there's
the alternative
about six.
Media, a company
there's
that you just
six.
Came from that's now bankrupt because the owner got
that's
sued
right.
for defamation
right.
for telling so many
the most
lies.
Anti-establishment free speech
stamp?
Organization
oh,
in the
oh,
world.
Yes. The freedom
is
of speech, guys. Yeah.
Wars.
The freedom
that's
of speech, guys.
That's why we get shut down.
True, exactly.
That's
yeah.
why
it
we're
wasn't for telling. Yeah.
Of course. You want to know what happens when you speak truth to power? Everything this guy just said. I've been censored. I've been imprisoned. I've been assaulted. I've had my businesses shut down. This guy's dealt with nothing except cucking to his wife's boyfriend. We don't need the world. It's true. But that's the leftist liberal attitude is, oh, we need everybody. You need everybody. You need government. You can't make it on your own. You can make it on your own. America can make it on its own. Did you read the WikiLeaks emails in 2016? Did you hear about Abramovich? Did you hear about the spirit cookings? Did you hear about the children in the hot tub for your entertainment? Did you read these emails? This is all public information. Anybody in this room can go look at the WikiLeaks emails. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, go home, look it up. It's all public record. It's all real.
Wait, all of that
so
is public record? All of that is real? All of that is super true?
Yes.
And not everybody can be a robot polisher.
Just telling you, I would probably have thought I was crazy when I was your age, too. But when you dig into this stuff and you realize your government is extremely corrupt, your mainstream media is extremely corrupt, most of the celebrities that we look up to are extremely corrupt, these are the ones that are telling you how to think. And so, yeah, I don't like that. I don't think you should like that. And you would be stunned if you saw what was in those Democrat emails that he's pretending is not true. Man, that is just, it's hard to concentrate with so much yapping in my ear.
Don't worry, it's how we all feel watching InfoWars. Or
oh, they
used
all watch InfoWars! They all watch InfoWars. I love it. So there you go.
Every single thing that these people talk about is conspiracy.
Guys all believe in insane, unhinged, crazy shit. Conservatives don't believe in dinosaurs. They think that oil is a self-replenishing thing. They think that we couldn't have gone to the moon. It's just insanely hypocritical. They believe in every single conspiracy theory. The wildfires in Hawaii were caused by Jewish space lasers. They think that every fucking war in the Middle East is some, like, I already answered the dinosaur. You guys don't believe
robot
in dinosaurs.
Robot Polisher at Robot Polisher. The man is a champion. We need to send him a plaque or something. Follow that man. Great compilation.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, the AlexJonesStore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at the AlexJonesStore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at the AlexJonesStore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at the Alex Jones store.com, and I thank you for keeping us on the air.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks.
Yes, here, yes, here.
This is the American Journal. Second hour is on. In case you just missed it, we just played a 5-minute compilation of Owen Shore being absolutely correct against Destiny. Very, very good compilation by our friend Robot Polisher at Robot Polisher on X. There's just so many aspects. It was just a very illuminating debate. And it's almost like the desperation from the Democratic Party has seeped out to the rest of their followers. And desperation is the only word that could suffice here. Kamala Harris on Joe Rogan's show, Hail Mary Moves, could be her best bet. What do y'all think? What do y'all think a Kamala Harris appearance on Joe Rogan would be? Because either it would be her final destruction, because Joe Rogan, like, she's going on with Bret Baier, Fox News. It's the first time she's deigned to sit down with a reporter from a right-leaning outlet. But, you know, if it's Fox News, it almost doesn't matter how badly she does, because liberals will just ignore it because it's Fox News. Like, that's the way their mind works, right? If she goes up against Bret Baier and he's just, you know, fact-checking everything she says, and she's flustered, and what liberals just look at that and just go, oh, well, that's just Fox News being biased. And, like, it doesn't matter if it's like, no, we're showing you Kamala Harris's words. That doesn't matter to them. It's like when we used to go out a lot more often, when we could go live on Twitter back before we got kicked off, and we'd be going around interviewing people at rallies or whatever. And liberals were convinced that we were going to edit them to look stupid. And we would show them the phone and go, we are live right now. We cannot edit this video. It is live. We are live broadcasting. Say whatever you want. Go. And they would go, no, I'm not. You're going to make me look stupid. It's like, what? They have to convince themselves that, like, right-wing media is just evil and bad, and everything it presents, by the fact that they're presenting it, can be ignored and dismissed. And so it almost doesn't matter if she goes on Fox News. It's not going to hurt her with any of her constituency because they're going to ignore it. If she goes on Joe Rogan, it'd be a little bit different. So it could be an opportunity for her greatest failure ever, which would really, I mean, she set the bar high. But it would, it could be just a could be the end of her political career, or could be very good for her. Because if there's one thing Rogan does, it's agree to his guests. It's to give his guests an opportunity to really explain themselves. It's amazing for people like Alex Jones, who are constantly demonized and everything they say is taken out of context. It's fantastic to sit down and actually be able to express what he actually means. Well, you're talking about a politician like Kamala Harris, who's just saying nonsense. If Joe Rogan is not prepared and you know, armed with the facts he needs to see through her lies, then she'd be able to use Joe Rogan to sort of launder her retardation through a form that, that makes it seem legitimate. So I don't know if it's, I don't actually know if it'd be a good idea or not. Trump definitely should go on. Trump 100% should go on Joe Rogan. No, I think she should too. I think she should too. I mean, she shouldn't. I mean, I want her to go on, but like if I was her campaign, absolutely not. 100% no. 100% no. Hours? You're gonna, she's going to talk for hours to Joe Rogan? Wow, I really want this now. The more I think about it, the more I really want her going on Joe Rogan. If for nothing else, can you imagine the ping trip videos that would come out of it? She's reportedly in talks to guest on Joe Rogan's mega popular podcast, whose audience skews heavily male and conservative, and whose sit-downs typically run for hours. Neither move would be notable for any other candidate. Donald Trump has been sitting down with opposing, even hostile interviewers since he launched his campaign, but Harris's handlers have largely restricted her to rallies and teleprompters and crowds of supporters or sit-downs with friendly alt-media types who tee up easy questions with few follow-ups. And no wonder, every time she goes off script or is pressed just a bit, she offers up complete gibberish, like her Monday ramble about constellations in response to Black Star Network host Roland Martin's question on crime. Not to mention her admission on The View that she wouldn't have done anything differently from Joe Biden the last 4 years. We have to think that her advisors have decided she's on course to lose and decided they must take some big risks if they're going to turn this thing around. Well, you know, her latest interview was with CBS, and it was so bad they had to edit it and are refusing to release the transcript. And here's from New York Post, what we've been talking about this whole time. Kamala Harris's greatest weakness is her inauthentic self, and Black Americans can see right through it. Kamala Harris's greatest enemy is herself, and her most notable weakness is her inability to convey sincerity in her messaging to the public. Her authenticity handicap... That's a phrase. Authenticity handicap. You're a phony. It means you're a phony. Yeah, I have a pretty high authenticity handicap. It was recently reflected in her dwindling poll data with Black Americans, a historically reliable Democratic voter bloc. There's all sorts of euphemisms in this article. The Breakfast Club's Charlemagne the God invited Harris for an audio-only town hall in Detroit featuring pre-recorded questions from the audience. From the very first question, her believability came under scrutiny by Charlemagne, saying, quote, folks say you come off as very scripted and would like to stick to your talking points, which she promptly interrupted him by saying, some people would call that disciplined. And you can hear the shuffling of the index card. Her pre-prepared responses. Okay, when they say it's you're scripted, call it being disciplined. Oh, that's good. That's really authentic sounding. When pressed on the topic of reparations, comic topic that Black Americans care about, she summed up her interest in pursuing an avoidant answer. It has to be studied. Should we study it? What do you think we're going to study? Do Black people want free money? Is that what we're going to study? Or are you going to study whether the long-term effects of robbing one population to pay another over historical events that ended five generations before the people alive now were born would actually be good, if the long-term effects would be a positive outcome, or whether it would be very, very negative. I think if they studied that, what they'd find is that they've done this before and it always turns out badly. In fact, there was a story recently, I had it at one point, but I forgot to actually go through it, but it was a big study of, you know, free income, guaranteed income project in California. And without exception, the people with guaranteed income have worse outcomes every single time. Every single time. Like, they end up poorer because they get free money. And this was like a long-term study with a lot of people. Half the cohort did not get money. The other half did get money. The half that didn't get money, like, worked more hours, got more money, got promotions, ended up at the end of the year, 5 year, however long the study was, better off, happier, and more prosperous than the people who were given the free money, who ended up just relying on the free money and not doing anything with their lives. So her inauthenticity is a handicap that she cannot overcome. And it's not something that is exclusive to her, obviously. The inauthenticity of the entire Democratic establishment, including the mainstream media, politicians, and the supposed right-wingers who had led Republicans down the path of failure for the last several decades before Donald Trump came in and savaged all of them. I keep seeing people, and I don't know why this is, that the largest study ever on UBI was conducted, and the results are disappointing for advocates. Ooh, darn it. Ah, shoot, really? What does it say? They relaxed? Well, you're never supposed to relax. What do people do with the extra time they got from working less? In short, the answer is they relaxed. They did nothing. They did nothing. I mean, it's something I'm literally trying to teach my three-year-old. And Democrats still haven't learned it. You aren't supposed to just do nothing all the time. You're not supposed to just do what you want all the time. It's actually not good for you. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I keep seeing people talk about Ron DeSantis or, I don't know, some other Republican nominees. People are like sniping it at Trump from the right. God only knows why. I mean, you know, they're Benedict Arnolds, I guess. But, you know, if you think that there's somebody else that'd be better at the Republican ticket, if you're one of these people that is seeing the way that Ron DeSantis handles the hurricanes and is going, see, this is what we could have had him as a candidate instead of having to deal with Trump and all of his baggage. If you think there's somebody else that was better than Trump to be on the ticket, Republicans, then I guess my advice would be next time they can be the ones to destroy the Bush and Clinton dynasties single-handedly. Okay? Why don't they go out and do that? Why don't they go out and single-handedly destroy the entire political paradigm like Alexander the Great cutting through the Gordian knot with a sword? Why don't they go out and do that? Why don't they become a once-in-a-generation political dynamo? And then we'll pick them, and then we'll select them. Like, people forget what things were like before Donald Trump. I was going to play some clips from the 2016 debates just to remind you, but it might be more impactful to go back to a 2012 debate, to go back to a time when it was Mitt Romney and Barack Obama politely lying to each other and all of us during their ridiculous debates about binders full of women and the 80s called, they want their foreign policy back. It was so boring. It was so pointless. It was such a charade. And then in comes Trump, like the woman from the 1984 Apple commercial, shattering everything, completely reorganizing the political landscape, awakening hundreds of millions of people to the truth behind the duopoly and the corruption, single-handedly destroying the Clinton and Bush dynasty, who had, with only a brief you know, pause ruled over our political landscape for, shoot, I don't know, 40 plus years at that point. So if you want somebody like Ron DeSantis at the top of the Republican ticket, I suggest Ron DeSantis fund his own campaign and shatter the political paradigm and take down practically every New World Order, duopoly, blue blood Republican and Democrat party boss on his way to the top. He can do that, and then we'll support him. But to treat Donald Trump like just another politician is to be dishonest about how we got here and to be dishonest about the effects of his presidency. And it's also to not understand that the number one reason they hate Donald Trump is because he is, in fact, the peace candidate. I'm going to go down to clip number 27. Here's Trump talking in a very authentic way about his desire for world peace and his frustration at the incompetence, malice, and warmongering psychopathy of the current regime. Let's go to clip 27.
They didn't do that either. So we go in, we blow up countries, and then we leave. We got nothing except dead people all over the place on both sides. How stupid are we? That was a Cheney deal and a Bush. How stupid are we? Not just Democrats. It's both. I'm equally angry at both. Because we have humanity to think about also. You do. You have humanity to think about. And all of these things, they should have never happened. Ukraine should have never happened. October 7th should have never happened. If you had smart people at the White House that knew something, a little bit of something, it wouldn't have happened. Think of the world, how different it would be. You wouldn't have Ukraine, Russia. You wouldn't have had October 7th. You wouldn't have this horrible thing that's going on. You wouldn't have had inflation. You wouldn't have had the worst, most embarrassing day in our history. We were leaving Afghanistan. I'm the one that got him down, but I would have kept Bagram. You know why I would have kept Bagram? It was 1 hour away from where China makes its nuclear weapons. 1 hour away. So you see, the ideas and the policy are important, but the most important thing of all is the messenger. Because I could give that same message to a stiff, and it wouldn't resonate at all with the other side. You have to have the right messenger.
That's the reason they hate Trump. That right there is the whole reason they hate Trump. He interrupted, and for at least the 4 years he was in office, paused their consolidation into a one-world government. Through war, through psychological operations, through mass media manipulation, he shattered it all. And again, you know, I guess it's just where you're coming from. It's where your perspective is. Because they're actually, you know, the Democrats are actually taking things like, you know, Dick Cheney or George Bush or whoever else endorsing Kamala Harris as a good thing. So we can both see the same action. The leftists see Republicans like Dick Cheney endorsing Kamala Harris as evidence that Trump is just so unhinged that every, you know, respectable politician in the world hates him and, you know, would rather have Kamala Harris. Or you can see it as the most destructive, despicable, warmongering, vampire, blood-drinking psychopaths in the world are terrified of Donald Trump. But if you think all of the billionaires and all of the corporate masters and all of the bankers and all of the international community and all of the United States government lifelong employees are in fact evil, then you want their ire. You don't want their support. you're glad you're not the one they're covering for. So this headline from RVM News is similar to a lot of other stories across the media landscape today. Elon Musk announces moves to help Trump win Pennsylvania, donated $75 million. Elon Musk has emerged as a significant financial supporter of Donald Trump's presidential campaign, contributing $75 million to his pro-Trump super PAC in just the past 3 months. The infusion of cash positions Musk, the world's richest man, as a pivotal player in the upcoming election as he aims to generate a red wave in key swing states that could help propel Trump back into the White House. And thank God, we have one. We have one billionaire who actually seems to care about humanity and America and the values we believe in. But a raid against him and Miriam Adelson, who has her own reasons for supporting Trump that have to do with his undying loyalty to Israel. I don't think Elon Musk has the same ulterior motives in supporting Trump. But up against them two are literally tens of thousands, well, thousands of millionaires and billionaires, not just supporting Kamala as president, but building massive networks, entire industries created to systematically and in a wholesale, holistic sort of way, move the entire population away from liberty, away from self-sufficiency, away from self-government, away from the founding fathers, away from conservatism, away from Christianity, and towards progressivism, towards socialism, towards communism, towards dependency. And we're seeing the outcome of that. And this is at least a good visual representation. These are employees who have donated to Biden versus Trump. The more blue the image is, the more they donate to Democrats. As you can see here, every single corporate organization in America is light blue, if not dark blue, all the way down until you get to the U.S. military, the U.S. Marines, and the NYPD. And these pathetic little red circles at the bottom represent the only corporate organizations in America that support Trump over Kamala Harris. While everyone from Amazon to the University of California to the U.S. government itself to Google to Disney to Bank of America, Mayo Clinic, the entire academic and corporate world and governmental world is 100% behind Kamala Harris. And these are just the ones we know about. When we get back on the other side, I'm telling you about some of the more important but less well-known people supporting and behind and manipulating Kamala Harris, including BlackRock. But before we go to break, I want to show you folks something. Let me show you something that arrived yesterday. This is, ladies and gentlemen, the official, the first time American Journal t-shirt. It's beautiful. It's well-made. It's available now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. You get that beautiful font by Dan with the world there. Yes, this is a round earth shirt. I hate to say, but flat earthers are encouraged to purchase it. It's the American Journal t-shirt now on sale at thealexjonesstore.com. I think there's a white version as well. But this is the black version with the white writing. It's fashionable. It's subtle. It's beautiful. It supports the info war. When we get back on the other side, we finish up talking about the politics. We'll talk about what comes next for us here in the heart of the resistance. Support us now by going to thealexjonesstore.com, getting yourself an American Journal t-shirt.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, Our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays on the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Taking a record of the hearts and minds of the American people, it's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, folks, they're very mad that a single billionaire has decided to buck the trend and actually support liberty for once. A shocking, violation, I guess, of what they how they think things should go. Whatever, I guess. You know, it's just like these people, they just don't believe anything. Nothing they say is true. And you'll actually hear them over and over. And they also say the same thing over and over. Like, nothing they say is even original. At least have some clever lies. I mean, when you're lying, that's really, I mean, you know, the world's your oyster. You can say whatever you want. Instead, they all say the same things, and they're all lies. They're all boring. And things like Trump and his billionaire buddies like Elon Musk. Yeah, he's got one. He's got one billionaire who actually supports him. And then you have Miriam Adelson, who supports him on the contingent that he embarrasses himself for Israel all the time. But no, he's got a billionaire there in his corner. What a shock. What a shocking surprise. Meanwhile, Mark Zuckerberg and Bill Gates, and I'm not going to list them because it's literally, no, all of them, all of Larry Fink. I mean, no, all of them are not just Kamala supporters. They dedicate all of their time and all of their money towards the progressive cause. But I want to go now to clip number 28 because a very keen-eyed TikToker did some investigation for himself. And I like this video for a couple of reasons. One, because it's thorough and then the guy shows you his work and shows you the research that he did. But also because it's something that literally anybody could do and that I encourage you to do. And it's play the little game I like to call Wikipedia Hopscotch, where you see a name involved in politics or whatever, you know, organization, whatever globalist organization, and you just start clicking around. You just start seeing who they are and what they're about and what else they get up to and what else are they involved in, how much influence they have, and why have I never heard of them before? And in this case, it's a billionaire that donates to Kamala Harris as well as a whole bunch of other organizations. But it's amazing how many times once you just start clicking around, once you start seeing connections, they're everywhere. Let's go to clip number 28 here. It's from a TikToker. It's called Who is Supporting the Harris Campaign? Let's watch.
Come have a look at what I just found on Kamala Harris's Instagram. If you go through the people she follows, you'll find something very, very strange. Pretty much all of them are either actors, celebrities, athletes, or political figures. But then you'll find someone called John Doerr. So I did some digging on John, and you're not going to believe what I found. We know Kamala's flip-flopped on policy, but let me tell you, Big Johnny makes it pretty clear what the agenda is. Besides the traceable donations to the Dems, let me lay out why I think he could be one of the puppet masters behind their agenda. He's on the board of a number of key companies, the first of which is Google, which we now know has been extremely active in censorship, most recently when they stifled the viewership of the attempted Trump assassination and only showed Kamala search results when you'd search for Trump. He was also an early investor in Twitter and very active in the decision-making during Jack Dorsey's ownership. He's a part of Bono's One Organization, Bill Gates's The Pledge, but the most crazy involvement has to be Forward.us, which he co-founded alongside Zuckerberg. It's essentially aimed at fast-tracking citizenship for immigrants in the US, and some of the rhetoric is quite alarming. I mean, look at this.
So I was a TikToker, again, just finding just one of the various billionaires and all of the organizations that they're on the board of and funding and organizing to, you know, create armies of people working night and day to flood our country, to raise our rents, to take our jobs, to destroy our culture. I mean, that's what they're doing. And I worked out the numbers before just to try to give an illustration of like just what one billionaire is capable of funding, someone like George Soros, and just breaking it down into like yearly salaries, right? And you just go, okay, if you donate $5 billion, that's the equivalent of like a workforce that could fill up, it could be full occupancy of the Empire State Building working nonstop for 5 years. Like, just imagine 20,000 people whose full-time jobs, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, all day, every day, all they're doing is working towards your goals. what could you accomplish? What have they been able to accomplish? Not as much as we could with that type of money, but they've accomplished a lot. They've practically destroyed America from the inside out and have the American people cheering for their own destruction. So they've achieved a lot. But when you think about the type of money that's being poured into these things and where it's going, the organizations that it's funding, number of people that they hire to do this work day in and day out, and then the connections that they're able to bring because they're billionaires, which is more important than a lot of the monetary gifts that they give, is the influence, the positive press, the connections that they make. Same thing with places like AIPAC. People always point to the money AIPAC gives, and it gives a lot. But that's very recent. AIPAC was around for a long time before they were even allowed to give money directly to politicians. You got to print this story out. A unicorn moment inside Kamala Harris's re-energized web of Silicon Valley investors, billionaires, and power brokers. Yeah, but Trump and his billionaire buddies, Elon Musk, are working to deprive you because they're the big bad billionaires. Meanwhile, there's an entire web of billionaires working together to try to bring you Kamala Harris, just like they did in 2020, where they fortified the election courtesy of billionaire Mark Zuckerberg. And there's a reason they're supporting, right? There's an obvious reason why they're supporting her. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the well-being of the American people. And so while they, again, across every news site today, I saw basically the same headline, Elon Musk gives money, Miriam Adelson gives money, they are behind Donald Trump. These billionaires are supporting Donald Trump, writing stories about this. Meanwhile, not only... So we see Kamala Harris has a web of billionaires all working in conjunction to get her elected. From Washington Examiner today, Kamala Harris takes checks from Blackstone executives. Vice President Kamala Harris is vowing to take on corporate landlords for jacking up rent prices should she win in November. At the same time, executives from the biggest corporate landlord in the world are boosting her presidential bid with large donations. Harris's joint fundraising committee boasts a war chest of almost $800,000 from top employees at Blackstone, a massive private equity firm facing scrutiny from Senate Democrats for extreme rent hikes, illegal eviction, and other predatory practices. Federal Election Commission filings show Jonathan Gray, the president of Blackstone, has donated $413,000 to the Harris Action Fund in late July, according to multiple reports. So if you want to talk about, you know, raising house prices, illegal immigration is obviously a huge component, but these giant corporate landlords are equally large, if not a larger impact on this. Harris's campaign economic plan in August called for stopping Wall Street investors from buying up and marking up homes in bulk while taking hundreds of thousands of dollars from the very company that is leading that charge and has made billions off of that process. And that's just one. Again, I mean, I don't have time to go through all the billionaires supporting her, all the organizations and corporations behind the Democratic plan. Trump-Harris immigration crackdowns would be bad for U.S. economy and companies like Amazon. The immigration is a crisis, is a top issue for voters and companies like Amazon. Voters will soon decide if they want Trump or Harris to handle the immigration crisis. Consequences for corporate America and the economy run deep. And Amazon is very concerned that they will be deprived of their low-wage, imported, globally sourced scab workers. The company was the largest sponsor of H-1B work permits for skilled foreign workers over the past 3 years and would likely hire far more if allowed. It's also chronically short of warehouse workers and since 2022 has run a program to help refugees get work at the company. To get a sense of the immigration crisis, look no farther than Amazon.com. Much like most of corporate America, they faced a backlash. They would face a backlash if they pushed for more immigration. Public opinion is hardened on whether undocumented immigrants and more restrictions may be coming, regardless of whether Donald Trump or Kamala Harris prevail in the November election. again, it's also obvious to me that I don't know how to explain it to anybody else. If you think corporations are evil, which all the socialists do, if you think Amazon doesn't have your best interests in mind, as every good socialist believes, and I do too, by the way, then how do you not see through their programs? I mean, Amazon is the company that's paying its employees to go get abortions out of state, paying for their travel, paying for their time off, paying for the operation. Do you think it's because they love you and want what's best for you? Or do you think it's because they don't want their, you know, slaves' work time interrupted by the creation of a new life? Why are these big evil, everybody gets their evil corporations that survive on slave labor overseas, why are they flooding the market with immigrants? Why are they undercutting American wages? Why are they paying for your abortion? Why are they doing all of these things? And if it's because they love you and are good for you, then how does that comport with your conception of these organizations as relentless volcanoes of consumption? This is what I mean by like how obvious it is. It's like, yeah, I also used to be, I wouldn't say I was ever left-leaning, but I was definitely not down with the Republicans' love of corporations, treating corporations like people and, you know, thinking capitalism is the answer to everything. I get the impulse. What I don't get is how it's like you haven't changed your perspective since the 90s. It's like people still think we went to a war for oil in Iraq. It's like, okay, I also used to think that, but then I realized, I learned, I advanced my knowledge and my position in accordance. But let's hear from the people themselves. Let's hear from the CEO of BlackRock itself. Clip number 7 is Larry Fink, BlackRock CEO, leftist, Democrat, progressive partisan, kind of accidentally, I think, explaining the reason why they're pushing for depopulation. I mean, this clip is crazy. This clip is very crazy, but watch this clip in the context of the corporate and billionaire support for leftist Democrats, the corporate support for things like the tent program, where they're bringing in globally sourced scab workers, illegal immigrants, paying for everything for them. And again, just think about how much money they must be saving on this, just like the abortion thing. If they're willing to pay for your vacation, they're willing, like these are the, this is a corporation. Amazon's a corporation that punishes its drivers for taking bathroom breaks because a minute delay is unconscionable for them, and they'll, you know, fire you because they're losing money on the 10 seconds you use to zip your pants up. And yet they're going to pay for you to have 2 weeks off and to travel to a different state, and they'll pay for your hotel room, they'll pay for your operation, they'll pay for your travel, and they'll pay for your time off. While at the same time, they'll punish you for stepping out of your truck to throw trash away. I mean, is there not an inconsistency here? Yeah, Amazon denies workers pee in bottles. Here are the pee bottles. No, now they actually punish people for throwing the bottles out of their cars.
And that's almost a rite of manhood, like a rite of passage, but I mean,
well, it's discriminatory. Women can't pee in bottles as easily. I just don't get leftists fall for this. Again, it's like I said, like sometimes they're accidentally right. Sometimes they happen to fall on the right side of conflicts, but then they're like so inconsistent and nonsensical in their reaction to it. It's just madness. You want to be against avaricious corporate greed? Good, I'm on your side. If you think the solution to that is like importing their scab workers, importing their migrants, and undercutting the American people, then you've lost the plot, or you're dumb. You just don't get it. you don't like house prices going up, if you don't like corporations buying houses, and this is the thing, this is why InfoWars is necessary, actually. Because I need to tell you the obvious, if you really think about it, the obvious outcome of the thought process, which nobody else seems to be able to do. The reason why you have massive corporations like Blackstone and BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street and all these others buying up entire neighborhoods of houses in order to rent them out instead of sell them is because the people at the top of these organizations are aligned in their designs. They're aligned in their mission to permanently alter humanity itself and to change our entire economic and social civilizational construct to eliminate ownership, to eliminate private property in an effort to make us all slaves. It's not about making money. It's not about exploiting, you know, people for a little bit of cash. That might help. That might be part of it. That might help justify what they're doing. But the purpose is a much larger one. It's a much greater design. It's a systematic approach that they're taking. And they're doing it across the board. And sometimes they justify it through climate change. Sometimes they justify it through something else. But at the end of the day, they don't want you owning a home. They don't want you owning a house. They don't want you paying for anything that isn't consumable or owning anything that isn't consumable. You'll rent your car, you'll rent your TV, you'll rent your phone, you'll rent parts of your car, right? Like the new Mercedes or BMW. I can't remember which one came out, but it's like it has all of these features, but you have to pay a subscription. They want you living on a subscription model. They want your existence to be a subscription to them. So they want you born with debt. They want you born, you know, saddled with the debt from the hospital of your birth. And they want you to go to school, and that's debt on top of that. And then you have to get a job, and you're constantly paying off the debt. You can never save up money. You never save enough money to make a big down payment on something. They want you constantly renting. Instead of paying a mortgage, they want you paying that same amount month over month, only at the end of it, instead of owning a home, you'll own nothing because it's about exploitation. It's about usury. It's about debt slavery. It's about eliminating private property, as private property is a key component of liberty itself. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing. I have no privacy, and life has never been better. Privacy is another big aspect of it. They want total surveillance, total control, total subjugation, total stupidity, total hopelessness. They want that. That's what they're going towards. So, you know, Democrats might see that there are big corporations that are buying up houses, and they might think, oh, that's wrong. People can't buy houses now. You got to understand it's deeper than that. You have to understand there's a greater emphasis, a greater impetus at play here. There are reasons behind these things happening that are beyond just making money. They're about shaping humanity, reshaping humanity, eliminating from humanity the hard-won liberties of the Enlightenment and the American Revolution and all of the advances that Americans and humanity itself has made over the last thousands of years. They're in the way of their total control. They are a barrier to their mastery of a slave race. It's like, think about being a slave in Sparta 1,000 years ago. You've got, you know, your Spartan masters who eat almost nothing but, you know, red meat. They're jacked and well armed, and they're feeding you, you know, thin gruel, some grains, just enough to keep you alive and working. And one slave's like, well, it's because, you know, they're trying to keep costs down because they don't want to spend money. And I'm the slave sitting here going, no, it's because they want us weak. It's because they understand that if we were well fed, then we could pose a threat to them. because they understand that if they feed us well and give us time off where we're not working, then we might be able to talk to each other and we might be able to communicate. We might be able to develop a plan to go against them. And if we are well fed and we are able to eat meat, we're getting a lot of protein, then we could be strong and then we could fight them and then we could be free. So does it save them money feeding us thin gruel? Yeah, probably. That might be a part of it. But there's a greater purpose of keeping your slaves weak and ignorant. It's not to save money, okay? It's to keep you in subjugation. So I hope you can understand. I hope you can hear that when we go to clip number 7. Here is the BlackRock CEO kind of explaining it himself.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's something that most people never talked about. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. But in my conversations with the leadership of these large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in, shrinking demographics, these countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. And if the promise, I didn't say it's going to happen, but if the promise of all that transforms productivity, which most of us think it will, we'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries, the standard of living of individuals, even with shrinking populations. And so the paradigm of negative population growth is going to be changing. And the social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations. And so for those countries that have rising populations, the answer will be education, and so rapidly developing. You know, for those countries that do not have a foundation of rule of law or education, they're going to be left. That's where the divide's going to get more and more extreme. And unfortunately,
so that was a very concise, thickly packed thing we just heard. He's saying the biggest winners in the modern age are the countries that have shrinking populations but xenophobic immigration. He's talking about China, Japan. He's saying they're actually going to benefit because they're going to have to make up for their population shortfall with robotics, which is going to spur the replacement of humans with machines. And he says social problems that one will have while substituting humans with machines will be lesser in these depopulating countries. So he's actually advocating depopulation, but not for depopulation's sake, because that will ease the transition away from a human future towards a machine future, because it will be born out of necessity as you're dying off and can't support your aging population. Sickeningly evil, and we'll get more into it on the other side.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
When the Democrat lawyers tell the national news and the national newspapers that Alex Jones won't pay us our money for their Sandy Hook judgments, remember, in the courts, in their filings, and on the courthouse steps, they said over and over again they don't want money. But then they still run to the press and claim that they do want money when I offered to settle with them for $70 million. That's the big dirty secret. This is all about getting rid of the Second Amendment and the First Amendment that are the bedrock heart of our nation. I'm about to break down the truth they don't want you to know right now.
I ask that with your verdict, you not only take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away, I ask that you make certain he can't rebuild the platform. That's what matters. Take him out of this discourse, of this misinformation, of this peddling of lies, and make sure he can't do it again. That is punishment. That is deterrence.
And the question is going to be, where is Alex Jones when that happens? Is he in the studio? Getting ready to pounce? Or will you stop him? That's going to be in your hands. And then if we get all done with all the evidence, we're going to come back and we're going to ask you something. Because that's what justice is in this case.
And that is why I've been saying that what this is going heading towards is there's going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate. And over the course of that process, that could get very, very dangerous for Mr. Jones.
But we will be at it as long as it takes. And if you're out there right now and you're one of Alex Jones's audience members, and you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
I hope that we never see someone like him again. I hope that with your verdict, he can go away.
But the money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
28 days from now, and I'm taping this on Tuesday, October 15th, 2024. But 28 days from now, InfoWars goes up on the chopping block, and the bad guys, Soros, PAC, Media Matters, and others are saying they're going to buy it just to shut it down. Now, the reason I raise that is it came out in federal court that the chief counsel of Connecticut went and organized the families of Sandy Hook and others to come and sue me. Then they defaulted me where the judge found me guilty and then literally had a show trial. And they went back and claimed that I'm the one that first questioned Sandy Hook, which isn't true, claimed I built my empire off of them, barely ever talked about them. They had PR firms running hundreds and hundreds of articles and TV programs about the terrible things I did to people that I never did so that they could demonize me to the wider public. And they later admitted they were doing it to set a precedent to be able to use similar tactics of lawfare to shut down other people, like they mentioned Tucker Carlson as an example, or President Trump. So now the public is awake to this and understands it. But what I wanted to do in this little piece was A, make an announcement, and B, just point something out to you. So here's the first announcement. I've promised before InfoWars
potentially shuts down in just the next 28 days, then I'm going to put out a short documentary about what really happened at Sandy Hook. And I'm not talking about the kids dying or any of that. Before they ever sued me, I looked at the evidence and thought, no, it happened. No, I'm talking about the truth about the lawsuit against me, the propaganda, the disinformation, the Democratic Party hiring PR firms to make it a huge story 2017-18.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones, who claims that 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombings were inside jobs.
Yeah, they were, lady. That is just a part of a video. The full thing's about 16 minutes long. The truth about Sandy Hook Lawfare. The truth about Sandy Hook Lawfare. Find and share it at band.video and infowars.com. It's also on Alex's X at Real Alex Jones. At Real Alex Jones. Follow him. Follow me at Harrison H. Smith. And we'll be back for the third hour of the American Journal on the other side. Stay with us, folks. Still a lot to cover and a lot of videos to show you.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. It wasn't nice.
Enjoying this, beautiful song for a moment. Welcome back, folks. Third hour of American Journal is on. I'll tell you, I'm still getting used to the fact that we don't have all the commercial breaks that we used to. I haven't quite mentally reorganized how I cover topics yet. So I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I haven't gotten to yet that I need to. And I am blaming the scheduling change because it's not like I'm at fault. It must be somebody else's. But I'm going to try to just get through some of these headlines and cover some of these bigger stories, including some that have just broken. But we have eliminated two whole, and they were the long ones, two commercial breaks from every hour of the show. So that's six commercial breaks. Nearly 20 minutes of commercials that we used to have are now gone. So please, don't make us pay for that. Don't punish us for that. We really hope that you're still going to InfoWarsStore.com, that you go to TheAlexJonesStore.com to purchase some of the incredible T-shirts, like the new American Journal T-shirt, which I've already shown off, but it is truly beautiful and extremely well-made, with the iconic logo there that you see behind me. But very beautiful stuff. Go to keep wanting to say The Real Alex Jones because that's his Twitter account. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com to purchase that. You can also get the Ultimate Sea Moss capsules. I know those are incredibly popular. The Optimal Human has rapidly become a daily supplement for me. I just have taken to carrying around a big water bottle full of the stuff, and it really is powerful. Optimal Human, also available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And, of course, you support us in whatever comes next. So we have so much to get to still. But suffice it to say, the powers that be are fully on the side of the Democrats, practically all of the billionaires included, with the exception of Elon Musk. And while they're willingly spending their money to destroy our country, the cost eventually falls to you. Here's how much each New York State resident will have to fork over in taxes to cover the migrant crisis bill. Each of New York's 10.7 million taxpayers will have to fork over $215 on average to foot the bill of the state's ongoing migrant crisis, according to a new analysis. Put another way, it would take an entire tax bill paid by 328,471 New Yorkers together to cover the $2.3 billion tab to house and care for the staggering number of asylum seekers in the state. See, the billionaires will pay billions of dollars to organizations to circumvent the law or manipulate the law or in whichever fashion flood your country with migrants. And then they all go on the dole, and it's your money that ends up supporting them for however long they can get away with it. You are the one paying for it at the end of the day. They are getting all of the benefits. $7,000 state income tax bill for New Yorkers in 2022 is the average. It's time to wake up what we're doing to the taxpayers, said Arena, who is running against the incumbent, Democrat Senator Pete Harcum, in a district that covers parts of Rockland, Westchester, and Putnam counties. The crisis has spiraled out of control, especially in New York City, where young gang members housed in city shelters have been marauding around the Times Square tourist district committing crimes, as reported by the Post. It's just ridiculous and outrageous. And, of course, you know, the outcome is stuff like this. How is this not the biggest political talking point right now? Since October 2019, native-born U.S. workers have lost 1.4 million jobs. Over that same period, foreign-born workers have gained 3 million jobs. So one of the classic leftist memes that don't make any sense is they're like, Schrodinger's immigrant. He's both taking welfare and stealing your job. And it's like, yeah, how do you think they're able to pay him so little? His wages are subsidized by the government funds. It's really not all that complicated. And of course, the corporations, it only makes sense, right? Corporations pay $1 million to a lobbying organization. That lobbying organization funnels some tiny percentage of that to the candidate. They have sway over the candidate. The candidate then passes some bill to provide massive subsidies to the migrants that the corporation is using as scab workers. And suddenly their investment has paid off tenfold. Suddenly the taxpayers are on the hook for $1 billion. And so that $1 million investment has allowed them to utilize $1 billion taxpayer dollars in wage subsidies. So they can pay $1 billion less to their workers and have that difference made up by the taxpayer. It's a scam. It's all a scam. And it's robbing you of your birthright. America itself. And this might be where it ends up. This is where it ended up in South Africa. South Africa has 28 million people on grants. That's welfare. But only 7.4 million taxpayers. That's where we're headed. 28 million people living off of the money stolen from the 7.4 million people that actually do the work. I mean, honestly, it's probably similar numbers here, like a similar ratio to the number of people that actually create something versus the number of people that either work for or live off the largesse of the government. Raw Ignatius put this well. This is one possible demographic future of the West, a massive class of unemployed, unemployable people, mostly migrants and their children, subsidized in perpetuity by a much smaller class of productive middle class native Europeans. It is the South Africanization. That's if they don't kill you, right? If you're able to survive the process of becoming a minority in your own country, then you'll be saddled with the responsibility of maintaining the rest of the population forever, in perpetuity, ad nauseum, forever. This is a direct result of a particular mental illness the liberals have, where they value everything except for the people that they're supposed to value. And I want to explain, this is not progressivism. It's not a unique and creative and interesting change in human nature. It's a defect. It's wrong. It's deadly. It's an aberration, an abomination, you might say. hopefully you've seen this. It's become a meme at this point, but it's actually from a study. The study is called Ideological Differences in the Expanse of the Moral Circle. Personal moral allocation to humans and non-humans by political ideology. This is a heat map indicating highest moral allocation by ideology. On the left is conservative, on the right is liberal. The highest value on the heat map scale is 20 units for liberals and 12 units for conservatives. Moral circle rings from inner to outer are described as follows. 1, all of your immediate family. 2, all of your extended family. So starting at the bullseye, right? So the bullseye would be your immediate family. The ring outside of that is your extended family. The ring outside of that is all of your closest friends. Your ring outside of that is all of your friends, including distant ones. Then it's all of your acquaintances. Then it's all people you've ever met. Then it's all people in your country. Then it's all people on your continent. Then it's all people on all continents. Then all of the universe, including alien life forms. And then all living things in the universe, including plants and trees. And finally, in this outer circle, is all natural things in the universe, including inert entities such as rocks, with the final ring being all living things in existence. And this heat map determines the moral importance that you place on these different rings. For conservatives, the closer you get to your immediate family, the more conservatives, you know, care about these things. With liberals, it is the exact opposite. The farther away you get from your people, yourself, your family, the more they care about them. Again, people want to treat this like a virtue. It's not just not a virtue, it is a defect. That's the only way I can put it, a defect. Maybe the crew can find this video. It's a fascinating one, but it's just one example of something that we all know to be true, and something that I was thinking about with my wife giving birth. Instinct. It's about instinct. It's a video of a beaver, a little beaver cub that had never been around any other beavers. It was like orphaned or something. It was raised by humans. It had never seen beavers in the wild. It had never interacted with other beavers. And yet, it started on its own accord picking up toys and placing them across a hallway. I don't know if the crew can find this video. It was on Twitter a few weeks ago. But this little beaver is just something in it that tells it what to do. It just feels compelled to, like, build a dam. The generation upon generation upon generation times 100,000, it's been programmed into the DNA of the beaver that they know how to and feel compelled to build dams. Even when there's not water around, even when there's no trees to chew down, it's picking up toys and laying it because that's what it's supposed to do. That's what's programmed to do. That is its purpose. It's its life's force is to do this. Now, if you were to then have a beaver that instead of building dams was like stacking things up or, you know, felt compelled to tear dams down or something, it wouldn't be that this beaver is creative and progressive and changing up the way. No, he's defective. The beaver is defective. It's supposed to build the dams. It's supposed to do this thing that is natural for the progress of its population, its genetic code. So this, yeah, here it is. Look at this. This beaver never been taught, never been around other beavers to have this explained, you know, just shown by example. It just does it. It feels compelled. It doesn't know why it's doing it necessarily. It's not sitting there going, I want to build a dam. It's just like, man, it feels good when I put things in the way of other things.
It's probably trying to isolate itself from the human that dresses it.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe so. But do you see what I'm saying? That, like, there are these natural instincts and natural inclinations that the left celebrates going away from that. The left thinks it's like progress to not do what you are compelled by God to do. But it's not original or creative or, you know, some unique expression. It's you're defective. Or if you ignore it and you try to, you know, channel that energy into something else, it's not good. It's really not good. The reason I was thinking about that with my wife is like, man, when you see somebody give birth, especially without painkillers, like, there, it makes perfect sense to me why ancient, like some of the first cults in the world were like fertility cults, because something happens. Something happens where, like, you know, the women have no control over their bodies. They aren't consciously making the decision, but there's just some program running. There's some higher power that like enters into their body and is making things, and it just happens. It's I don't know. It's like hard to explain. Like, you know, their bones rearrange. Women, when they're about to give birth, their whole body goes through this thing that it's not them. It's something else. It's something above them, beyond them. Especially when the pain starts coming in, they just like, there's this like glazed look in their eye, and they literally like go into a trance. And it's like they're gone. It's like, okay, the soul has left the body, and now they're being inhabited by some greater life force that is causing all of this to go on. And when you suppress that or ignore that or try to rechannel that energy into charity work or progressive politics, you're not like creatively using this energy. You are a defect. You are defective. You are an aberration. You are a abomination. You are unnatural. It's not good. And it's the same thing with, you know, caring about your family. It's natural and good and right and a compulsion from God to care for your family. When you value the outsiders over the insiders, you're not a progressive, you know, beneficent person. You're a defect. You're wrong and bad. And I've been thinking about that a lot recently. I don't know why that beaver video has just stuck with me. I just keep thinking about it. Let's talk about crime, shall we? Shall we talk about crime? Because that's one of those places where the natural inclination, the natural mercy and patience and care and generosity that especially women are programmed with in order to raise kids, because it's totally necessary. And personally, and from my experience, men are not equipped with the same level of patience and empathy to raise kids alone with the care that they need. That impulse, that care is often diverted and channeled to people that don't deserve it. And that's not right to give that your support and empathy to. Criminals. And yet that's what the Democrat Party and the liberal establishment like relies on, is this good nature, the good impulse, the good evolutionarily necessary understanding that women have. They want to take that and warp that, distort that, pervert that, and direct it towards the outside group or towards criminals. And this is, again, not progressive. It's not a moral and virtuous way to be. It's a defective and dangerous way to be. And some people can recognize this. Some people on the left even are waking up to this reality. The Young Turks, Anna Kasparian, seems to be one of them. Let's go down to clip number 4. Here's Anna Kasparian describing her waking up moment when it came to the retardation of the left. Let's watch clip number 4.
In 2022, it was around March. I was walking my dog. It was not quite dark yet, but the sun was setting. As I'm walking my dog, I see these two guys that were just kind of like moving around weirdly. You know, they seemed kind of manic, mm-hmm. and their clothes were tattered. So I knew that they were probably homeless. And I also knew that they're probably on something just based on like the twitchy way they were acting. But living in LA, I mean, there's homeless people everywhere, right? So I've never had problems. I didn't think anything of it. But as I was bending down to pick up my dog's mess, one of the guys like grabs me by my hips and he had an erection.
Oh, God.
And just starts, like, humping me. And I didn't know what to do. Like, I was terrified. I didn't have a weapon on me. Yep. Like, I had no way of defending myself. I didn't know how far it was going to go because it's two guys. I'm by myself with my little dog. It was one of the most terrifying things ever because I'm pretty good at defending myself. In that moment, I just knew there was no option.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And luckily, he stopped, and they just laughed at me and walked away as they were laughing at me. And so there was the fear and then the humiliation and weirdly shame. Like, I felt ashamed for some reason. And it was awful. And it was really taking a toll on my mental health because I have to walk my dog, right? So at least two or three times a day, I'm going outside kind of scared. And so I opened up about this on the show. Not really thinking much of it. And before I know it, I'm starting to get these messages and it's like really, really harsh stuff. And it's about how you are painting a picture of the homeless community. You know, how could you be like this? You know, these are your unhoused neighbors and they need help. A few people accused me of being racist when I had never disclosed the race of the individuals who did this to me. And in fact, they were white. And so like when they started accusing me of being racist, I'm like, wait a minute. Why are you assuming that the people who did this?
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you might have a problem here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
yeah.
That woke me up. That woke me up because I'm like, oh, my God.
They eat their own.
Progressive journalist Anna Kasparian unleashes on liberal intolerance that drove her away from Dems. It's disgusting. I'm glad. I'm not glad that happened to her. I'm glad she's waking up a little bit, at least. Why is that necessary, though? Why is that necessary? Why do you have to go through something like that yourself for you to have empathy for people that have been attacked by homeless people? I guarantee you, before that experience, if somebody else had shared that, she would have been the one to say, how dare you, you're racist, you're, you know, demonizing these poor unhoused people. I mean, that is her position. That was her position until it happened to her. And only when it happened to her did she wake up. Supposedly. Why? Why is that necessary? How can you not have empathy for people that this happened to without it happening to you? I don't know. I really don't know why. It is interesting to see the Young Turks starting to break away from the Democrats more and more. See people like Cenk Uygur saying things online, and it's just like, what was the one thing he said? Something during the debate where they're like, he's like, why do Democrats keep talking about unemployment during Trump's last year when they know it was COVID and they know all of the, you know, job gain under Biden, it was just people returning to work from COVID. Why are they so dishonest about this? And it's like, yeah, why? You know, why, Cenk? Why are they so dishonest? It's a great question. Why are they? Why do they get away with it is the question. Why are Democrats incapable of seeing through these lies? And why don't they care that they're being lied to? And it's interesting to me that these little breakthroughs can happen. But they don't happen. They happen in piecemeal to these people. And maybe this is just they're on their way to the awakening. But try for me, if you can, if you're one of these leftists that has woken up, try to extrapolate this. Try to extrapolate your awakening about the willingness of the Democrats to lie, of the deception that's embedded in their every statement. Try to extrapolate it to everything else. Try to understand that it's not just the unemployment rate. It's not just the failure of the homeless programs. It's not just the migrant crisis. All of these things are all built on lies. They all are predicated on the dismissal of and discrediting of real concerns that your fellow Americans, your fellow human beings actually have. Instead, everything is presented as some sort of a scheme from the Democrats or a scheme from the Republicans to do something dishonest. I used to like the Young Turks. Back in the day, they were at least authentic. I would love to see a return to form where they're questioning the obvious lies that they've spent the last decade
promoting.
Most
people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys to our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get your Ultra 12 and other great products, and for 40% off, some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
The ultimate turmeric and inflammatory support product on the market, Bodies, is available at the InfoWars store. Using pure turmeric extract plus piperine from black pepper, Bodies makes for optimal formula absorption to help boost and support your flexibility, mobility, joint function, immune system, and so much more. Truly utilizing the therapeutic power of turmeric and its active constituents, Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. And with five other organic herbs and extracts, Bodies is a synergistic powerhouse of full body support. We worked hard to create a formula that takes advantage of the power of turmeric. Check out Bodies today at InfoWarsStore.com and see what this time-tested ingredient can add to your daily routine.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Kingdom. from his throne atop the Great Pyramid, distant Anubis. All right, folks, we got some ridiculous headlines to go through here. There's one more. See, the problem with printing out all of the stories that we cover is sometimes they have like these bylines that are really interesting that don't get printed out, unfortunately. So this one is incredible. See, now it's making it impossible to do. So it's a story from The New Yorker called Rationalizing the Horrors of Israel's War in Gaza. And it says, the novelist Howard Jacobson has argued that too much press coverage of dead Palestinian children is a new form of blood libel against Jews. What? But what is that? But what? What? Just what? So when Israel, for a year straight, carries out bombing campaigns against civilians, killing God only knows how many tens of thousands of children, probably 100,000 at this point, showing images of that, talking about that, reporting on that, is apparently the bad thing. The bad thing is people talking about it because it is a new form of blood libel against Jews. It's a blood libel, the reality. So reality is a blood libel. The actions of the Jewish state of Israel, predicated on, justified by, distinctly Jewish rationale, going after Amalek, etc., is a blood libel, I guess. What? That's all I have to say. What? What are you talking about? It is happening. It is happening, though, right? It's one of the things that's like, this might get me in trouble because I haven't thought about this yet, but I'm going to go ahead and start talking and see where it goes. It's almost like by grouping all Jews together, maybe that would prevent some of the excesses of Israel. Maybe if people running Israel knew that they were putting all Jews all over the world in danger because they're all being associated with one another, maybe they'll pump the brakes a little bit and go, we could do this, but if we do, it's going to reflect on all Jews and it's going to make everybody hate all Jews, and we don't want that, so let's not kill all of the children. So, like, I know we don't like to group people and you know, blame an individual for something that somebody else of their ethnicity or whatever does. But maybe by doing that, we could prevent some of the excesses of people like Bibi Netanyahu and people who run Israel. It's a new form of blood libel. Okay. All right. Do you just understand how insane that is? That they're literally like, if you, like a blood libel, that's like a big charge, right? That's like a very outrageous thing, a blood libel. So they're literally saying that, like they're trying to set up a paradigm where, like, if you talk, that a Jewish person or the Jewish state can do whatever it wants, and you're not allowed to talk about it, or else it runs the risk of blood libeling all Jews. So, which is bad, which is really bad. I mean, if you're engaging in a blood libel, that's a bad thing. It should probably be stopped. So we have to be stopped from talking about the actual reality that's going on in Gaza right now? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to work. Maybe it will. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe now would be a good time to, well, no. Well, we'll move on. We'll move on to some other stuff. It's just crazy. I just can't imagine. Can't imagine the mindset it takes to write something like that. Dems pictured Trump behind bars. Instead, he's barnstorming the U.S. in a tight race with Harris. Wasn't long ago that some thought the former president might have to campaign from the clink. The political left was banking on a quartet of criminal cases to sink Mr. Trump, even if the White House and Democratic lawmakers tried to distance themselves from the formal gears of justice. Prosecutors who secured headline-grabbing indictments wanted to begin picking juries in the middle of the presidential campaign season. Instead, Mr. Trump is a free man and in a neck-and-neck race with Vice President Kamala Harris. In a remarkable turn of events for Mr. Trump, who quashed one federal case through skill and luck, watered down another, and stiff-armed a trial in Georgia by raising questions about the prosecutor's romantic life, compromising the case. See, they're treating this like it's Trump doing this. No, these are bad prosecutions. They're not legitimate. They are illegitimate. They are politically motivated. They are being run by corrupt and incompetent people. It's the poison pill of Democrat policy. It's that it's evil and it's going to fail. And that's the thing, as we go through this, it's just understand where we are. Just I shouldn't even really talk about like what they say. I just need to tell you the truth. And the truth is very simple. They launched like a dozen different attempts to put Donald Trump in prison because he's a popular candidate, because they don't like him. They have weaponized the justice system, to go after him. They have thoroughly destroyed their credibility in every possible regard. They have failed entirely with their ugly, freakish judges incompetently trying to hamstring Donald Trump. He is succeeding wildly regardless. But they're destroying America in their madness, in their attempt to do this. And they're not even hiding it anymore. Let's go now to clip number five. This is Biden. Gateway Pundit has the article. Biden says the quiet part out loud, admits his DOJ is working to jail Trump after the election. Let's go now to clip number five. Here's Biden openly hoping President Trump is jailed after the corrupt Democrat-led witch hunt.
The same guy. There's three other major cases waiting for him when he loses. And by the way, 34 felonies. And so far, he had good sentence. He got the sentence kicked back, but I want to watch that sentence. Look, Donald Trump's not running. If he was running for himself, I think he's running to stay out of jail.
Good Lord. Good Lord, that man is not well. You know, there's a Supreme Court decision that basically, like, if a police officer isn't working in accordance with the law, they don't have the protections of being a police officer, right? So if a cop, just because he's a cop, decides he's going to kick down, you know, the dude that his wife is cheating on him with, that guy can shoot the cop. If the police officer, even though he's wearing his uniform, even if he's got his cop car, if he goes and puts handcuffs on his romantic rival, that's just kidnapping at that point. It's not legitimate. So how does that apply to courts that are operating outside of the law, courts that are clearly being directed in a partisan political maneuver to jail their opponents? And would Trump not have the moral, if not legal, right to resist imprisonment at all costs? I think he would. I don't know. It's not the type of thing Trump does, but I think he would be perfectly justified in telling the American people, they're trying to throw me in prison illegally, and I'm not going to go, but they're going to come try to get me, and I need protection. And to get like 1,000 volunteers to surround Trump Tower and kill anybody that tries to break in to get Trump. when you have the President of the United States bragging about the completely illegitimate, totally fraudulent cases that his operatives, that his Justice Department has saddled on his opponent. It's just crazy. It is crazy. Meanwhile, vandals cover Abraham Lincoln statue with strange blood-covered colored graffiti, call him executioner. Spray paint wielding vandals in Chicago covered an iconic Abraham Lincoln statue with bizarre slogans on Monday, including one that claimed the great emancipator was actually an executioner. The monument, which sits near the Chicago History Museum in the city's Lincoln Park neighborhood, was defaced as part of an apparent act of protest on Indigenous Peoples Day, according to CBS News. The messages include one that said, Lincoln was an executioner, and another said, may all empires fall from Turtle Island to Palestine. Turtle Island being a name that I guess the natives gave to America. Yeah, they hate white people. It's an anti-white attack. It doesn't matter who the person is or what they did. It doesn't matter. Yeah, they apparently say, avenge the Dakota 38. Because there were 39 Sioux that were guilty of murder and rape that Abraham Lincoln ordered the execution of while he commuted the sentence of 264 others. But later gave reprieve to one of the accused, saving him from the gallows. Avenge the Dakota 38. And there were 38 Native Americans that were lawfully executed 250 years ago, and they're defacing Abraham Lincoln to get vengeance for them. Dethrone the colonizers. Just retarded. They just hate white people. It's pretty simple. Meanwhile, Elon Musk's mission to Mars could ruin the red planet, scientists warn, as the SpaceX CEO reveals plans to set up a city there by 2054. This week, Elon Musk made the staggering claim that a city of 1 million people will be thriving on Mars within 30 years. Now, a leading scientist has warned that Musk's plan could prove disastrous. He claims humanity should only send a single astronaut to Mars if we ever want to learn the truth about life in our solar system. The last thing we need to be doing is taking life from Earth to Mars. Robotic exploration is the way to go. He's going to ruin Mars. He's going to ruin the lifeless rock in the sky. He's going to ruin it by building things there. It's all the nature of Mars. You know, the endless repetitive landscape of red dust, the unbroken face of just rock, just pointless grayish red rock. Now he's going to ruin it. I don't even care that much about settling Mars. Like, obviously we need to, but I'm more concerned about what's going on Earth. So I don't know. I mean, I think we just have things to take care of here. I'm down with going to Mars. I want people to go to Mars. I'd love to, for Musk to have a colony on Mars. I think that's cool. Not my biggest concern, but at the same time, this is just petulance. This is just stupidity. Just what is their problem? What is their problem? It's like they're like allergic to greatness. They're allergic to anything that is like powerful and a dream of humanity. They just are desperate to drag us all down to the squalor in which they live. It's going to ruin Mars. Yeah, Mars is ruined already. There's nothing on Mars. There's absolutely nothing. The more you learn about Mars, the more you appreciate Earth. Here's a pair of headlines I want you to really think hard about in the UK. Union accuses the Labour Party, of cruelty over winter fuel payment cuts as 780,000 pensioners to miss out. Labour is facing growing pressure over its planned winter fuel payment cuts as figures emerge showing almost 800,000 pensioners who need the benefit are set to lose out. More than 80% of the people aged 80 or over will miss out, and more than 70% of pensioners, according to the Department of Work and Pensions figures released under the Freedom of Information Act. Even amongst those who would still receive the payment worth up to £300, an estimated 780,000 will miss out because they've not claimed pension credit. The government was accused of cruelty by Unite, the party's biggest union backer, which has reportedly submitted a motion to the party conference calling for the prime minister to reverse this controversial move. And they're claiming that, you know, they're expecting up to 4,000 people to die as a result of these cuts, calling it a cruel winter fuel policy. And it is cruel. But here's the thing. They need to save money, right? Because it's all about money, because everything's about money. They need to save money, even though it's cruel, even though it's harsh, even though it's dangerous. They got to do it, right? They have to save the money. And what they're going to save by doing this is about $1.3 billion. Pounds, whatever. 10 million people will be stripped of their allowance, which is to pay for, you know, heating in the winter. It gets brutally cold there. But they have to do it. They have to save money. It's harsh but necessary. $1.3 billion has to be saved. At the exact same time, labor to commit 22 billion pounds to carbon capture and storage projects. That's right, folks. They're cutting off the heating allowance of pensioners to save $1.3 billion while simultaneously spending $22 billion to build gigantic facilities that serve as nothing more than mechanical versions of trees. And this isn't even the most ridiculous thing the UK does with climate change. At the same time that China is set to build something like a coal power plant every 2 days on average over the next several years, UK just shut down their last remaining coal power plant, despite having an abundance of coal on the islands. We, of course, have been over and over again, the fact that they stopped burning coal in favor of burning old growth trees harvested from forests in Virginia and British Columbia. None of this makes any sense. But now they're building gigantic carbon capture machines, huge vacuums sucking carbon out of the air. They're going to spend $22 billion doing this while simultaneously cutting down forests to burn for fuel. Or if Bill Gates gets his way, cutting down forests to just bury the forests, to bury the trees in the ground. That's his plan too. Remove carbon emissions. Like at a certain point, what do you even say to some of this stuff? They're cutting off the heating for nearly 800,000 pensioners to save $1.3 billion while they're spending $22 billion to build mechanical trees. That's what they are in all reality. The government hopes the investment will reignite Britain's struggling heavy industry by funding two major carbon capture and storage clusters, one in Teesside in northeast England and the second in northwest England and North Wales. The technology is controversial because it has never been used at commercial scale in the UK before, while environmental campaigners have warned big energy firms could use it to extend the life of their fossil fuel assets. $22 billion for carbon capture machines. I mean, the weird thing is, you know, the irony of this is that if you just let global warming happen, maybe the pensioners won't die from the cold, but whatever. Who cares, right? Who cares? Spend the $22 billion on the pointless machines. Why not? I really don't even know what to say about these things. They're just doing it. And if you can't see the inconsistency between saving $1.3 billion by cutting off the heat to pensioners and spending $22 billion on giant machines to vacuum the sky. You know, whatever. You're like, you're fine. Fine. Vote for that. Vote for that. I'm sure you'll save the earth. This story we covered in the Daily Dispatch, but there's a good timeline to this. I don't know if I'll be able to get through the whole thing, but Liz Cheney contacted controversial J6 witness on encrypted app behind lawyers' back. So this was a member of the J6 Select Committee communicating in secret with one of the witnesses because, you know, everything about the attempts to destroy Trump have all been highly orchestrated, deeply corrupt from the beginning. But from declassified.live, there's a timeline of events surrounding January 6th. And from what I can tell, this is a fairly thorough breakdown. It begins in summer of 2022, as they talk about the information that leads up to January 6th. They begin with Jamie Fleet, then Democrat staffer for Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and the Committee for the House Administration, had a team of counselors working in anticipation of coming debates and objection from states, including Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, about certification of the Electoral College vote, knowing that objections would likely be raised on January 6th. Fleet's team began contingency planning to prepare for the possibility that the proceedings would, quote, not be traditional. Then in June of 2022, there's that photo op at Lafayette Square during the Black Lives Matter riots in Washington, where the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley contemplated resigning. Sitting in his Pentagon office, Milley wrote several drafts of a letter of resignation. Milley sought advice of a wide circle of confidants, including Joseph Dunford, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under the Obama administration, as well as others like Robert Gates, former Secretary of Defense and CIA chief. Most agreed with Gates' advice, don't make them fire you, don't resign. Of course, he should have resigned, because instead he chose treason, and he may pay the price for that should Donald Trump get into office. He certainly should. But Milley sought to get the message to Democrats that he would not go along with any further efforts by the president to deploy the machinery of war for domestic political ends. He called both Pelosi and Schumer. So that was a prerequisite, really, for their denial of National Guard troops in January 6th. And I've told you before, you know, they didn't want to have the National Guard in D.C. on January 6th because they thought Donald Trump was going to use them to invoke the Insurrection Act and basically to arrest all of the people who stole the election in 2020. So it's a complicated thing, but I suggest you go look at this timeline, and maybe we'll cover this more thoroughly tomorrow when we have time. Timeline of events surrounding J6, D.C., National Guard deployment shows politically motivated decisions. Because everything they say is projection. And folks, that's about going to do it for us for this episode of American Journal. We will return tomorrow. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is where you get the incredible new American Journal shirt. There's also a War Room shirt there. There's also a bunch of our old classic shirts that, you know, I'm wearing ones from 10 years ago. I may have to get new versions, including the snake shirt, not the Don't Tread It. Well, there's Don't Tread On Me shirts there. Just a ton of stuff at thealexjonesstore.com. Ton of shirts that have been off the shelves for a long time are finally back. Go there, support us, keep us on the air, keep us in the fight, keep liberty alive.
Most people that research supplements and that are into health know that Irish sea moss and its benefits are documented and incredible. Well, our sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, happened to be able to get one of the top suppliers with the highest rated Irish sea moss to give them the authorization to private label it. So now it's Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. It is the ultimate superfood. The iodine, the trace minerals, the elements, the vitamins that are in this are incredible. They give you instant energy, instant focus. But as you take it for a few weeks, you feel the stamina, the libido, the mental clarity. It is a superfood. It is concentrated. So get Alex Jones Ultimate Sea Moss exclusively discounted at thealexjonesstore.com. And listen to this. One bottle is 40% off. Three bottles is 55% off. And again, one bottle is 40%. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for keeping us on the air.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.